there you go. North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Kropaski, Bill Newell, standing by, as always, if we need him. We always need him. And we got a big show, a really big shoe tonight. Hopefully. You never know how this thing's going to work out. How you doing?
I'm well.
You don't? No, not this one. That one doesn't work. That one works.
I know. No, I know. It's just like I was...
Okay. There we go.
I was feeling like Buck Rogers and Han Solo all at the same time.
Well, okay, with the Lone Ranger in the background there. So tonight, Coach, we're going to talk mostly out of conference, not entirely, but we're going to go up to Cape Ann League, and we're also going up to the Merrimack Valley Conference. We'll start off with with Masconomet football coach Gavin Monagle. So many schools won on Friday and Saturday in the area. It was great. Then we're going to hopefully hear from E.J. Perry III and E.J. Perry IV. And I think anybody in this part of the country knows about the exploits of the younger Mr. Perry and, of course, the dad, who has had such success at Andover. And they are the West Coast offense redefined.
Yeah, they sling it. They put it up, and you can play that kind of an offense, or you can install that kind of an offense. But it only works if you've got a guy who can throw the ball, who can make decisive reads, who's got a quick release with backs and wide receivers that run precise routes, that can get open, that catch the ball, and then can make yards after the catch. They can make people miss. And they've got all of that.
Mm-hmm. Always have, or so it would seem. So we'll talk with Coach EJ and Son EJ. And, of course, the younger Mr. Perry going to Boston College next year. So we'll find out more about that, hopefully. Then we'll check in with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. They had a big win over the weekend. And we'll talk with Newburyport coach Mike Levine. They had a big weekend, a big football game over the weekend that they won.
Yeah. You know what excites me about Perry going to BC? We have a really high-quality football player.
I was hoping UMass.
They loved to have seen him.
Yeah, I was hoping UMass.
Going to BC, and kudos to BC for saying this kid, we want you to come in and compete for the job. Because there have been so many times when really successful athletes in and around this area have opted to go to the biggest schools out of the state. And some have certainly fared well. But the majority get lost in the shuffle because there's five or six kids that are signed at their position. And the level that some of these other guys play at is just out of sight. And where do they end up coming back after a year or two? They end up coming back to New England. And I wish Perry nothing but success. Go in there, compete, grab that job as a freshman, or you know, be the number two and grab that job as a sophomore and bring that hometown flavor to BC football. That maybe they'll do more of that in looking for, especially for skilled position kids.
I'll also be talking with a sports writer from the Salem News. I don't know whom. It could be Matt Williams. It could be Phil Stacey. We'll see who's available tonight as the evening goes on. So a lot on our plate tonight. We need to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk with Masconomet football coach Gavin Monagle. So we'll take a break right here on North Shore Sports Night. Thanks for being with us, and spread the word. msonewsports@gmail.com if you have any comments.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
You got to forgive him, Coach. He just came in late on his bike, avoiding all the trick-or-treaters on his motorcycle. All right, we're talking now with Masconomet football coach Gavin Monagle. And, Coach, congratulations. You guys have put together a very impressive win streak and a really nice win over the weekend in your game against Waltham. We lost him.
Coach, you there?
All right, we'll try it again. Let's dial him up. Here we go. The perils of live radio?
Technology.
Yeah, the technologically challenged. This is more like it. Yeah, we'll try it again.
Hello.
Okay, you ready? You ready, Coach?
This is Mark Betancourt. You know that, right?
Oh, Mark, listen, no, I thought, okay, you know what, Coach, can we call you back? Tim, it's Tim Kearns, Rick Moore, we're trying to get a hold of the Masco coach. We were going to call you at 7:30, is that okay?
You're going to call at 7:30.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
All right, so needless to say, we screwed up. Let's take a break, and I'll see if I can find the right number.
Meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, so listen, Coach, you know, like some politicians, you know, mistakes were made on the phone number. Mistakes were made.
Misinformation was provided.
I'll have to scold my secretary. I gave you the wrong number. That was Coach Mark Betancourt, and we will talk to Coach later on if he's not really angry at us. Not able to get a hold of Coach Gonigal. We'll try again. Coach Gavin Monagal. I want to say McGonigal, the professor in... Harry Potter. Maggie Smith played that character. I keep getting that mixed up. So it's Coach Monagal. And the impressive thing about Masco, what I was alluding to, I think they lost two of their first three games, but they've ripped off wins ever since. And they are, on a roll right now after beating, who'd they beat? Waltham, I believe it was?
Yes.
Yeah, Waltham.
And Waltham's a traditionally...
20-8, rather.
Yeah, traditionally a powerhouse down there. And... normally big, strong, fast. You know, they have a history of producing that kind of a squad. So for Masco to get down there and to take walk out with a victory, huge.
And Masco beat North Reading this year earlier, and North Reading has the one loss, and they'll be facing Danvers, I believe it is, on Friday night. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
All right. And then Masco has to face Billerica with the one loss. So there we go. And other games, I mean, you know, just checking it out. Peabody is at Lincoln Sudbury. We'll talk to Coach about that. Gloucester is at Marblehead. We'll talk to coaches later on during the week about that. Danvers at North Reading. Same thing. And Bishop Fenwick at Triton, Stoneham at Ipswich. Those are our Friday night playoff games. And we're still TBA in terms of what we're going to broadcast. I don't know yet. We're trying to figure that out as to, what venues we can actually get into.
Yeah. You know, looking at the Saturday games, Andover at St. John's Prep, that could be just... a classic game.
Hopefully we'll be talking to Coach Perry in a few minutes.
You know, both teams capable of putting up big points on the board. Rocket, you know, just had an outstanding game last weekend. And I think a lot of extra people are going to pay some money to see that game this weekend. And certainly Beverly at Tewksbury. Beverly can have the same kind of defensive game plan and production that they had this past Saturday against Somerville. It'll be a game against Tewksbury because, you know, as a lot of people have mentioned, the bane of the Northeast Conference over the past, you know, half dozen years has been Tewksbury. If you get past Tewksbury, you can get past just about anybody. But it's a tall order, and I know Coach Morenci is going to have those guys fired up.
Well, we had a lot of fun
to compete there.
We had a lot of fun in the rain on Friday night. Coach Ingram and I, and Mike Pedrini is everything as advertised from Melrose. Believe me, he was amazing. And Christian Sanfilippo was 2 yards better. Just incredible. And it's funny. I can't wait to talk to Coach Cirilli because they actually. I mean, it looked like from the stands that you stopped him, you bottled him up. And what you did was you prevented him from getting to the end zone. He reached the end zone twice, but once was called back. The other, that was an 80-yarder. He had a 75-yarder that was good. And he had total yards from scrimmage 220, and Christian Sanfilippo total yardage from scrimmage 222. But Christian got in the end zone a few more times.
Yeah, and that's the name of the game. And that's obviously, you know, a performance on the part of both the athletes that didn't disappoint the fans that came, knowing about Sanfilippo and knowing about Pedrini, and then both going out there and performing at the expected level. And kudos to...
All right, let's give it a shot. Yeah, let's see.
Let's see.
Yeah, let's see if that's Coach.
Hello?
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 Coach, who is it? Hello, Coach?
How are you doing?
Yeah, it's Rick Moore. Who's on the other end? Is this Coach Perry?
Yeah, it's Coach Perry. How's it going?
EJ, good. It's been a while. Hey, listen, congratulations. You must have a smile from ear to ear.
Yeah, and you know in football, though, you can only smile for 24 hours because... Now we got to grimace and get ready for the up in your area. So, but the game that went on Friday night was just unbelievable. So, yeah, I'm happy about that.
EJ, listen, you've been involved in some of the most classic games, not just on the North Shore, but in all of Massachusetts with your team. And this was another one. I know that the score came in at halftime on, was it Saturday? Score came in at halftime on Saturday. 40-something to 28, I think it was. And I just said, well, you know, don't worry about it. That's Andover. And you pulled it out. So tell us about it.
Yeah, it was, so like you say, I went to the 8 overtime, and I thought we might have another 8 overtime game the way Sal was playing, the way Idra was playing. And what happened was they came right out Lexington. They scored on their first drive, got up 8-0 because they went for the 2. That was their strategy. And then we battled back and got it to 8-8, but then they got 2 touchdowns. We got, they got another touchdown, but it was 28-14. And then we got 2 touchdowns, went up 29-28. They got a touchdown and closed it to 35-29. And at this point, I thought when at the end of the half that my son was going to have something again against me for the next 50 years. Central. And instead of onside kicking it, and the kid returned it for a touchdown, I was like, I had a lump in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, I decided to fake the punt, but there was only like 35 seconds left. And the kid, the snapper, bounced the snap back to him. We fell in the mud. They got the ball, and on the next play, Sal threw a touchdown. So we went out at half, 42-29. And like you said, I just gathered guys around and said, you know, that part was my fault. We're getting the ball. We're going to score. We got the ball. We scored on the first play. We stopped them. We scored again on the first play of the drive to go 42-42. And then we stopped them again on an interception, and we drove down and scored. We went up 48-42. I felt good about it. We had a couple other drives stall. And they scored 48-48. We got all the way down to the 2, actually, and got a penalty. Then had to kick a field goal. We missed the field goal. And then in overtime, EJ ran the second play in. We stopped him. And again, EJ was involved because he knocked the ball out. But we had some unbelievable performances. We had a kid catch 14 balls, 3 touchdowns, 276 yards. We had a kicker break his record for... And that was Cedric Gillette. We had Charlie Ziegenbein break his record for kicking. So we had just huge performances, and it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable is the word. That's amazing. Coach, before we talk about EJ and the job you've got still to go here, tell us a little bit about a couple of your other kids, because we haven't had a chance to talk with you yet this year.
Yeah, I mean, our line's coming together, and that's key. We got a kid in Max Biotti. He's 6'7", 305. He's played instrumental down the stretch. He's a 2-year starter. We got Jason Lynn, who's a starting guard, who's a smaller kid, but he's lifted. He's about 220, but he's only 5'10". And we have a three-year starter in Cam Lehman, who's just done a tremendous job in the line. And then our skilled guys, and then Joe Rockwell leads the state in receptions, touchdowns. I guess him and Cedric Gillette are tied now they each have 10 touchdown receptions, plus they have over 50 catches each, which is really remarkable, three games to go for a high school kid. And then our running back, Jeremy Travelli, he's done a nice job. On the defensive side, middle linebacker, a sophomore, and that's why we're a little young, but he's playing out of his mind. It's Philippos Mentitis, and he's doing a tremendous job at the middle. And then we have a seasoned safety who made a big pick against Sal the other night, Nate Wiley. So those are the guys who are really getting it done. And then really just everybody. I mean, our kicker who just has been kicking all, Chris Carver, he did an onside kick on his own and got the ball. He noticed that the middle guy was going back. He did an onside kick and got it as a kicker. He got the onside kick. And that really flipped the game at a 1 point. So you just have guys thinking smart, doing a lot of good things.
Coach, go ahead, Tim.
Coach, you said he did it on his own, but is that something that you sort of work in, and when you're doing when you're practicing kickoffs and things like that, you know, to you train him to listen. If you see the guy, a couple guys in the middle backing up, just tap it towards him and go get it, or is that something he just decided totally on his own?
Well, Peter Riley was he's been on the staff. He's 55 now, and he was on the 73-74 team, and he's just instrumental because he won the Super Bowl with an extra point back then. And he just tells these guys, yeah, when we're doing the drills, we pop it, we onside, we do fake onside, we do planned onside. And they do have the option. Now, the kids got a lot of guts because at that time it was 42-42, and he would hate to have to come to the sideline if you didn't do it correctly, but he got it, and they do have that option. I mean, it has to be very obvious, but, yeah, they work on that tremendous amount in practice, so he was prepared for it, and he did a nice job.
You feel like the team is starting to peak now, Coach, because you've had some really tough games this year.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what everybody didn't understand. When I was going into this game, I mean, I respect Lexington, and especially their quarterback and their coach. They do a lot of creative things, and Sal is just incredible quarterback. But I felt my team was coming together, and even though our record at the time was 3-4, we had played BCI early in the year. Billerica, when they were number 2 in the state. We played Central when they were in the top 5. We played Haverhill when they were actually 3 in the state, and we went to the Haverhill Everett game, and they didn't look as good, but they're a very, very good team. And so when you have that gauntlet to go through, and we lost, people don't understand, we lost Gemmel, who was rated the number 1 receiver. We lost him in the second game. So he hasn't played the last 5 games. He got a knee injury, and it looks like he's not going to play the rest of the season. He's going to Brown University, and he had scholarships to Colgate and other Division I AA schools. So he was a weapon. He had caught 18 touchdown passes last year as a junior, and he caught 8 in the first 2 games, and then he got hurt. So
wow.
That's been tough. Now it's been, like you say, great team building, because now we've had to rely on this kid Murata, the junior who's taken over for Gemmel, made an unbelievable pass in the corner of the end zone. A touchdown catch. It was unbelievable.
EJ.
And then you have Gillette, who stepped up, Rockwell, who stepped up, and Jack Bosey, who stepped up. So these 4 receivers have had to come along. They've just had to do it differently, and it's a learning curve, and they've done a nice job. So we are coming together, and we feel good about this Saturday. We're excited. It's a nice place to play, and we're ready to go.
All right, Coach, you know, please, when this is over in a few weeks from now, before hockey starts, I want to call you because I want to talk to you more, you know, about your team, and especially about the coaching, the father-son coaching deal, and your dad, you know, the respect you have for him and so on. Before, now, you have EJ there. Can we talk to EJ, or is he going to call us separately?
Yeah, absolutely. He wanted to talk a little bit to you, and, you know, he's good to talk to.
All right, can we?
So here he is.
All right, thanks, Coach.
How you doing?
Hey, EJ.
Hi, EJ.
I'm Rick Moore. This is Tim Kearns, and we've... We've dealt with your dad for probably 6 or 7 years now since Gloucester first played up there. And you stepped into a situation where it looks like, I don't know, the West Coast offense and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and all that stuff, and you've carried it on. So congratulations, first of all.
Thank you, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the guys Coach just mentioned, some of the guys you're throwing to, and maybe a little bit about each one. I'm guessing that you have something that you can mention about each one that's particular to each one, maybe?
Yeah, you know, Cedric Gillette obviously had the big game against Lexington, and he started last year as well, and he's probably the hardest worker on the team. Every day in the off season, he's calling me, texting me, let's throw, let's throw, let's throw, let's throw. And you can tell it's definitely helped because he's not the biggest, strongest, or fastest guy on the field, but he's always in the right position. He's always open. He's always running the right route. And it's from all that practice. And then as far as Joe Rock, one of the huge seniors who stepped up this year, who hadn't started in the past, has exploded this year. I think he's our second leading receiver. And he's just a tough physical guy, big guy who is able to use everything in his power to get open, and he's not afraid to hit. He's having a great year, and he's always open too. And then we have two brand new guys, Murata, who stepped in for Dan Gemmel, who got injured, who has played awesome, fantastic throughout these last four games, and has caught some unbelievable catches, the one in the back of the end zone against Lexington, the one in the back of the end zone against Lowell, and has really stepped up big time. And then with both Jack Bosey, another senior who didn't start last year and who has really stepped up big time, and especially in these last few games without Gemmel being that outside receiver who's catching all the balls. I think he has 5 catches in both the last 2 games. He's awesome. He's out there every day, works hard, and I've known all four of them since, or Murata not as much, but the other three I've grown up with since I was little, playing baseball, basketball, and football with them since we were in grade school, and Murata I've known since 8th grade. So it's really fun to be able to play and throw to all these guys and and have such talented receivers around me.
You know, AJ, certainly the length of time that you guys have known each other, grown up and playing other sports, even though you're playing other sports, there's not only a camaraderie, but there also develops a chemistry of knowing what the other guy can do, and playing sports is so much about everybody being aware of what their job is and everybody else around them trusting that they're going to be there. And I think that sort of carries over, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's one of those things where it's not a hobby, it's really a commitment, and knowing these guys for so long, it's really become something that we've become invested in, and something where one guy doesn't want to let the other down, so it's always giving 100% effort and being in the right place in the right time and delivering the ball on time, and it's really been able to develop a sixth sense in that sense, sixth sense with them. Knowing where they're going to be, knowing that they're going to be open, that they're going to be in the right spot, and it's really helped us so far.
Now, certainly, you talked about the off season and your teammates calling you and busting you to go and throw and practice. When you guys probably got together over the summer, was there always a group of you, and did you just didn't throw to wide open receivers? Did you have somebody playing defense to make it a little bit tougher, to make the guy run a sharper route, to get a better cut, to get the inside position, to learn to fight for the ball?
Yeah. Throughout the offseason, you know, we really drilled. In the last 2 years, actually, we really started every Thursday. We'd meet up at the turf. We'd meet up at the over the summers at the grass field, and we would throw. And you know, once we started doing it, at first it was just the starters. It was 4 or 5 guys, and then 3-4 weeks into it, we start getting at 10-12 guys. We started getting guys who are hungry, ready to play, want to fight, and then we are able, once we have that many guys, able to get tons of reps, tons of people going up against each other, battling, competing to get better and to know the to know what to do when they get in time for a game like Lexington, so we can win.
Hey, listen, now you got receivers who are friends. Any offensive linemen who are your buddies too?
Oh, definitely. Max Biotti, Jack Hartford, they all, Jason Lynn, They all have known him since we played in grade school together, growing up in the in-town league. Peyton Heike, who moved here from Ohio, and Cam Lehman, who's actually right down the street from me right now, my neighbor, I've known since I was 5 years, 6 years old. All of them I've played with before, and growing up with these guys, you know, now being seniors, you know, it feels like it's on our shoulders, and especially them being such a pivotal part and holding up so well this year. You know, they're all banged up. It's week 8. Everyone's banged up. So it's one of those things where it just shows the toughness and grit, and they go out there and compete and step up every day.
Yoel, I know you got some more work to do. What about your school load this year? Are you almost done? Is that correct?
I don't know how that's going to finish out. It should be good.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to keep the studies up, keep the grades up, get it going, and then hopefully continue to play meaningful football.
Yeah, have you talked to other coaches? Have you know, gone to clinics and stuff like that? Because obviously, with your reputation, your accomplishment now, you know, you're up there, and with only a couple of high school games left, you're headed to college. So you get advice or information from other guys as well.
Yeah, definitely, especially from my uncles who have all been down the road, all played Division I football. At the Ivy League or at UNH or Northeastern, where my other two uncles played, and all succeeded at that level. It's definitely been a lot to pick from, a lot of great minds to hear from, and a lot of good advice being thrown my way.
Well, congratulations, EJ. It's absolutely amazing, and I know that your dad and your family are so proud of you, and you know, it sounds like you've got a great future ahead of you. I hope we can talk again sometime.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. And can we talk to Coach again, please?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, EJ.
Hey, thanks again.
Coach, he's amazing. He's amazing. Listen, can we talk to you, you know, down the road?
Absolutely. Right when the season ends, you know, you guys know I love talking to you. I'll even throw in a little girls' basketball. But like I said, I'd love to talk to you about the process that EJ went through, my brothers.
Yeah.
So it's always fun just to get together with you two, and you do a great job.
Well, you have so many connections all over the country that it would be great, and how it impacts EJ and everything. Love to do it, Coach. Maybe we can get you in studio. But also, we could also have a business meeting at our favorite place to meet.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, definitely have a business meeting, and just have fun.
All right, Coach.
That's always a good time.
Sounds great. Hey, listen, congratulations, EJ. Good luck this week against the Prep.
Thank you very much, and keep the high school sports going, so thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks,
Take care.
Coach. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we should point out that E.J. Perry IV is the all-time leading passer in the state of Massachusetts. He had a game last year where he had over 600 yards. I think he had a couple of games, or at least one game this year, over 500 yards. And he sounds like an incredible young man.
Yeah, he's extremely, extremely, extremely well-spoken. He wasn't nervous at all. Obviously, he spent a lot of time being interviewed.
I'm nervous.
By a lot of people that he doesn't know, with recorders in his face. And I think, you know, he knows where it comes from. It's from having all those Skeons in his family who have played big-time college football, big-time college sports, and been successful.
Oh, and the relationships with the pro, in the pro ranks now.
Exactly.
And,
I mean,
the heritage, it's incredible.
Yeah, he's used to being around mature, successful athletes, and you can see it's just bred right through him.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to talk with Coach Betancourt next, and then we'll try to get a hold of Coach Monagle, and then we got to go to Mike Levine. Lot more to go here on North Shore Sports Night.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, here we go.
Rick feeds me bad information and then tries to blame it on me.
My fault, Mark. I'm sorry. I copied the wrong number down.
That's why I asked if he went to Savio, and people are going, wait a minute, I almost know he went to Savio.
All right, listen, Mark Betancourt's on the line now, and Peabody football coach, and Coach, I'm going to go back a week ago against when you guys played Danvers. I mean, you came back strong this week, winning in the playoffs, which is fantastic. You beat Westford Academy, big win. But before we get to that, give me a little praise, if you will, on the Danvers game, because that was an amazing game, and you guys played so well, but just couldn't get the ball back.
Yeah, Danvers did a great job of ball control in that game and kept the ball away from us. You know, offensively, we weren't clicking at all cylinders, and Danvers really was. I mean, they're a tough group of kids, and we've taken it to them the last couple of years before that. So, we were due for them to stand up and fight, and they stood up and fought pretty darn hard last Friday.
Yeah, and the conditions this week were similar. You played on Friday night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, similar conditions. So tell us about the win over Westford Academy, because they've got a reputation of beating up on schools in this area.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest thing for me was some of my baseball players play on the football team, and I told them when I learned of who we drew, I said, gentlemen, you can't allow us to get knocked out by the same team in the same place twice in the same year, because that's where our baseball team got knocked out in June.
Mm-hmm.
I said, don't let this happen to us twice in the same year. And the baseball guys kind of laughed and chuckled a little bit, but I was being dead serious. We played really, really well. Like you said, the conditions weren't ideal. But you know, we explained to our guys before the game, this is the playoffs. Everybody's record is 0-0. Throw out all your statistics. Whoever shows up and plays football and wins moves on, and who doesn't, you know, gets sent home. And I think they really bought into that and played really, really, really strong football for four quarters.
Coach, what was the strongest part of your game this past weekend?
Well, I mean, the dual county league, if you look at the teams that are in that league, majority of those teams are spread teams. I'm not sure they've really played anybody that comes right at them the way we did. I mean, we pounded the ball. I think we only threw the ball four or five times. We just came right at them, double tights and pounded it between the tackles. And I think just over the course of the game, we kind of wore them out. I don't think they were used to playing that brand of football.
This time of year, Coach, kids get a little tired, get a little banged up. How are you guys doing health-wise?
We're getting there. We're suffering our bumps and bruises. We've got a couple of kids concussed that we didn't have for the Danvers game, and now we've got some guys that are back and some other guys that are going out. But safety comes first, and once the concussions clear up and they get the approval to play from the doctors, we get them back on the field. But that's been our only source of injuries, really, because we crack heads a lot with the brand of
style
of football that we play. So when we get a concussion or two, every week, it's kind of comes with the territory. But as far as other injuries go, we've had no serious, knock on wood, other serious injuries. A couple of concussions. We kind of trade off guys week in and week out.
So after beating Westford, did you tell the kids thanks? We didn't lose to them again.
Yeah, that was the first thing I said. I thanked the football team for not letting it happen. now we move on to a real, real tough Lincoln Sudbury team.
All right, so tell us about that game coming up.
Anytime you're playing a team that's 7-1, obviously these kids know how to win. The brand of offense that they play is similar to Westford. They just do it out of so many different formations. It's a difficult team to prepare for. They have a lot of team speed. They're big up front. And, we're going to try to do the same thing. And we did at them. A lot of times these spread teams that play against a lot of spread teams, their linebackers are quick, athletic, and good open field tacklers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes they're not ready for guys to come banging at them play after play after play.
We'll
find out how tough they are up front and then adjust according to what we see.
Yeah, I remember a few years back, last I had to go to Lincoln Sudbury, and I think when I parked it, it took as long as me to walk from the parking lot to the field as it did to drive from Beverly to Lincoln to get to the high school. It is a hike to that football field behind the high school. Then there's the parking lot. Then there's another huge field you have to walk across to get to the football stadium.
Well, thanks for the heads up. I wasn't aware of that. I'm not sure I have a golf cart waiting for
me. I'm telling you, Coach, you will want the golf cart. And I remember Gloucester, running the wing tee, going after Lincoln Sudbury, and it was just bang, 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 bang. And it did sort of catch him. I think a little off guard, because I mean they were big and they were fast, but you know, yeah. Gloucester with those small guys just kept hitting him and hitting him and hitting him, and they should, because Gloucester, you know, had the great stable of running backs back then. They had Fulford and company, and they just tore them apart.
Well, I guess we're kind of hoping for a similar outcome here. You know, we have some guys that, you know, we have some pretty big guys that like to bang, you know, between the tackles, and mm-hmm. we're going to come right at them and see what they have to offer, and if you know, we take it outside and put the ball in the air, we will.
Sounds good, Coach. Go get them, and good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks
Mark. Coach.
That is Peabody Coach Mark Betancourt. I hope that's Coach Monagle. Let's give him a call. We'll take another quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to MSO.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back, and we have made contact now with Masconomet coach Gavin Monagle, and Gavin and Tim Kearns talking about their high school days in the Catholic Conference. How you doing, Gavin?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, congratulations, and again, you guys have put together quite a season and a big win over the weekend, you know, beating Waltham 20-8, and you got a big game coming up, obviously, but tell us a little bit about your first playoff game.
You know, it was just a great team effort by everyone. I think the offense got going. They got the ball first, and the defense actually stopped them right away, which was great, and gave our offense the ball, and you know, they were able to put the ball. A nice drive together. Declan came up with a nice third down pass there to Paul Baker, and that helped the chains go a little bit. Then we, you know, made some plays along the way between running and passing, and Timmy Bellevue ran the ball well behind a, you know, super effort by the line, I thought. And everyone chipped in. Then we score, we go up a little bit, and, you know, defense just continued on the whole game, and the kids on the special teams all jumped in. So it was really contagious, I think, as the game went on.
Well, you know, you've put together a tremendous winning streak, and is that North Reading game, is that sort of a turning point for you guys?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was an important game. You know, we kind of went back a year because we lost them by a point the year before, and it kind of put our season in the wrong direction a little bit. And I think we were really all focused on making sure that, you know, this year we left no stone unturned to make sure we at least gave every effort we could to make it right and do the best we could against them and then put it in the right direction.
North Reading goes on to to have a really, really, really good season.
And their only loss.
And, the only loss that inflicted was of course, your game here. What was your message to the kids after that game that, again, gave you the momentum to get on this five-game win streak?
Well, I think we were happy we beat them, but, you know, I think, we just said that, you know, yeah, I came out of Newburyport. That, you know, when we got to Newburyport, you know, we told them we're still in it. We have to win every game, though. And, you know, when we left the field with North Reading, we said the same thing. You know, we're still in it, but we got to win every game now. Just, you know, they had a great effort that game. The defense was tremendous. The offense, you know, again, jumped them with 21 points in the first half. And, you know, special teams, again, did a great job there, not letting McCarthy get going, you know. So, you know, I went back again the year before where he got one touchdown on a punt, and we kept them in only one touchdown. Our defense did well that game, so it was a 14-13 game. But, you know, and we went for the 2 points. We scored with, 14 seconds to go. And you know, the coach's decision that I had to live by was, yeah, went for the two. But we didn't get it. So coming out of, you know, winning the way we won this year, I think, this, you know, the message was, this is what we can do, this is where we should be playing, and this is our expectation, is to go forth and win.
You know, and certainly the defense bought into the idea that, you know, we're still in this because, you know, you haven't given up any more than two touchdowns in this five game win streak, and the beginning against North Reading, which I know you might count as probably maybe the toughest game, was going with then to Waltham. You only gave up one touchdown in each of those games.
Yeah, the defense has been great. The kids have been, you know, really focused. You know, the fundamentals, getting off blocks, getting to the ball carrier and making tackles, you know, defending deep, not giving up the big play. We gave up a couple of big plays, but, I mean, overall, you know, things you can live with. You know, some things happen sometimes. But the effort's been there every day in practice. We practice, you know, the tackling stuff. We really, I think, have dedicated ourselves to it over the past few, you know, a bunch of years, really. I mean, we've always done tackle pretty well.
What's the scouting report on? I'm sorry, Coach. What's the scouting report on Bill Ricca?
Oh, they're good. They're good. They got a couple good running backs. They got a good offensive line. They're good. They don't have any, you know, not too many tricks per se, not too many different schemes, but they do things well. They line up a lot of double tight end stuff, and, you know, they run that ball really well, and when they have to throw, you know, they throw it, you know, pretty good too. So they're good. They're good athletes right across the line. You know, the linebackers are solid. You know, D-line solid. They're very good. So, you know, it's just fun to be competing right now this time of year and being in the, you know, being in the conversation with these guys, and, you know, come a long way from a year ago where we, you know, we weren't. But about a year ago is when we did start turning around, though. You know, in this part of the season, we finished off, you know, 3-1, I think, last year, and I think the kids really started believing in themselves a bit. And
excellent.
So, but, yeah, went to, the work is going to be a tough one, though.
Sounds like you need a little honey and tea there, Coach.
What's that?
Sounds like you need a little honey and tea before you hit the sack tonight.
I know. This is the best it's been in about a month, though. So you play all your Friday night games in the rain. This is what happens.
I know. It has been brutal. It has been brutal this year. And final question, how's the overall health of you guys, except for the Colts?
We've been pretty good. You know, no complaints. I mean, as healthy as anyone else in the state right now. I think everyone's got banged up a little bit here and there, but, you know, I think everyone's getting great spirits and ready to go.
And this is the time of year when you went to Bill Belichick injury report mode?
Yeah.
That answer, that's we won't be trading anyone, though.
No, that's I know. Like, shock city. No, you won't be. That's great. Hey, listen, congratulations, Coach. And you know, we won't keep you. Go rest up if you can, and we'll talk to you down the road. But good luck this week.
Oh, thanks a million for calling. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Take
good
care.
Good luck, Coach. Bye-bye.
Coach Gavin Monagle, and he can barely talk, the poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fellow Spartan from Don Savio.
A fellow Spartan. All right. We're a little behind.
Heck of an athlete, too, as I remember.
We got to get a call out to Newburyport Coach Mike Levine as we go right back to the Cape Ann League. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is here. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. So let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, Newburyport football coach Mike Levine is joining us now. And Coach, congratulations. Cape Ann League doing pretty good last weekend.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, a few different teams had some success. It was good to hear.
Yep. All right, so tell us a little bit about your win over Pentucket. You know, Cape Ann League rival, but it looks like a close game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty exciting. We got sacked and used our last timeout with about a minute and a half left. So it was 2nd and 22 from our own 15-yard line, down by 3 with about a minute and a half left, and we went 85 yards with no timeouts in the next 40 seconds. So that was pretty good.
Listen, I've seen that once in high school. One time, I saw Gloucester do it against Beverly, I think, last year. They had 45 seconds left. Same situation. And it was incredible. I mean, it was like writing a movie script. So tell us about the plays. How'd you get from the 15 down to the other end to win the game?
Well, we ran... I can't exactly tell you the name of it. I'm not going to do that. But we ran a little rollout pass, and we had been sending number two on an out route, and we sent him on an out and up instead that time. And the pass was as perfect as you could ever ask for by Robbie Shea. We got just behind number two for Pawtucket, and our kid made a beautiful catch. So that bailed us out. It was second and 22. We gained about 40 yards. We actually got a holding penalty on the next one, but then on first and 20, our tight end made a beautiful catch to gain us 18. So we're back to second and two, and then another great catch by the same kid who caught the first one, Jack Kaelane. Kaelane made a nice catch, got us down to the three-yard line.
Whoa, how much time left at this point?
We're down at the three-yard line with about 40 seconds, maybe 35 seconds left, but we've got no timeouts left.
Damn. So it's, jeez.
Yeah, clock's running, so it's a tough decision. If you run the ball and you don't get in, you're going to have to spike it. But we did a little... formation we do where we sort of quickly bring everyone in, snap it, and go, and we scored on the first play from 3 yard line and made the extra point. And then just to make things a little more exciting, our darn kicker kicks it out of bounds twice in a row in the kickoff. But then he got a great kickoff deep, and we were able to hold him for the last 20 seconds.
And that last 20 seconds is the longest 20 seconds of your life.
Well, yeah. Although we do, you know, we prepare for that sort of thing. We train for that all the time. We do our Hail Mary and we do our situations. We get our guys that we need on the field, onto the field. So I felt confident in our kids at that point.
Isn't it great when, you know, you have that final drive and all of a sudden you see your quarterback and your tight end channel Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah. I don't know if we're quite at that level, but I'll say Federico is the kid's name. Boy, did he make a beautiful catch. He was not open by much on the second and 20 play. The Pawtucket linebacker was stride for stride with him, and he just climbed it behind him. A beautiful throw and a great catch. The kids made a play.
Coach, who do you have next? Who's coming up this week?
Number one seed in our region, Watertown.
Watertown. All right, so now you got to travel down there?
We're going there, and they've lost just one game all year, so they're a tough opponent.
All right, so what's the scouting report on them?
They've got a good quarterback, athletic kid. They've got a really good fullback slash middle linebacker who does a lot of things for them. You know, they beat Melrose this year, who I thought was an excellent, well-coached team, and they've got a win over them. Well, they've beaten everyone they've played except for Wakefield Memorial. So, you know, they beat Stoneham in a great game. They're a good football team.
You know, as I recall, Watertown, in you know, as long as I've been around, I don't recall Watertown, you know, really being a football power. So is this something new to them over the last few years that they, you know, suddenly got a program on the roll here, Coach, that they just built momentum on?
You know, that may be. They've got a couple kids. You know, the quarterback sort of makes it all go for them, but they've also got an excellent fullback, middle linebacker. You know, I went and scouted Melrose because they played Linfield, who was our first game, and I was really impressed with Melrose. They were a well-coached, excellent team, and Watertown beat them this year. And we'll beat Wilmington, beat just about everybody on their schedule. So they're doing a lot of good things at Watertown right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. They lost to Wakefield. Yeah, that's their only loss. And Wakefield was on a roll at that time. Oh, my goodness. Well, Coach, listen, congratulations. We'll talk to you later on, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Right,
thanks, Mike.
Coach.
That is Newburyport football coach Mike Levine, and they are on to Watertown as we had a lot of schools win this weekend from the Northeastern Conference and the Cape Ann League.
A whole lot.
In the playoffs.
You know, you go through it. Gloucester, Beverly, the Prep, Ipswich, Marblehead, Davis, Peabody, Fenwick, Masco, Triton, St. Mary's of Lynn, Linfield, Newburyport. And those are the playoff games. Manchester Essex won over the weekend. Hamilton Wenham won over the weekend. I mean, it was just, you know, one team after another coming up with that. Really, it sounds like one of the most successful weekends in a long time in the playoffs. You got a lot of people advancing to the second round, so there's a lot of options for people to pick up and go support their teams.
All right, we're going to catch our break here, catch our breath here on a break, and we'll be back. You're listening to MSO News Sports, and hopefully we'll be talking to Salem News sports writers in just a minute.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today.
All right, Matt Williams of the Salem News now joins us, sports writer Matt Williams. And Matt, I hope you're staying dry. I saw you come up in the booth the other night, man. You were soaked.
Yeah, it was a tough couple. It's been a tough couple of Fridays with the rain. Hopefully, it'll hold off this week. You know, I know over in Marblehead last week, you know, Coach Rudloff was joking that you know, maybe the kids didn't tell their parents there was a game tonight. There were so few people in the crowd with the rain. So hopefully we'll get a nice couple of weeks here for the semifinals and the finals.
Hey, listen, everybody's been talking around about the great article you had on Coach Rudloff last week, and it really was. Kudos to you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, Jim's a great coach, and, you know, I just thought it would be good to get in touch with some of the guys that aren't coaching anymore to see, you know, what made it so tough, because a lot of times when they're out, you know, they're a little bit more forthcoming with some of that inside info, as we've known with your guys' broadcast colleague Paul Ingram too, is you know, one of the great minds you know, in the game. You can learn things just from listening to him on the broadcast too.
Yeah, and you know, so that was, as you said, a different perspective, you know, that I think it caught a lot of people off guard as they went into reading the article, and there were no present coaches that you talked to. It was all the guys that he had coached against or coached with.
Yeah, that was sort of the idea, just because, you know, the guys that are still going at him, you know, they probably don't want to give away too many secrets or you know, what they might be planning. I mean, obviously, could see like a rematch with Danvers here in a couple of weeks and things like that, so... you know, much easier to get the good info from these guys once they're sort of retired or semi-retired.
Well, you know, I thought the great thing about it read like a mini book.
Yeah, thanks. That's the idea. Glad everybody enjoyed it, you know.
Oh, excellent, because I know everybody in the press box Saturday and Friday night over in Danvers, everybody was talking about what a great story that was. All right, this past weekend was one of probably the most successful weekends of playoff football ever for the North Shore, for the North Sea Conference, and for the KPN League.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, just in our little area here, there's 8 semifinal matchups this weekend, and... you know, a few more, you know, beyond the general scope here. So very nice to see. I think especially the NEC North really kind of flexed its muscles and showed that, you know, maybe this league is a little bit better than people give it credit for. You know, a lot of people like to talk up the dual county league, and they didn't do so hot. And, you know, the Middlesex League has kind of had their number in a couple of playoffs over the years and didn't do so hot. So, you know, maybe some of these teams that you know, weren't at the top of the standings, like Peabody and Beverly, you know, they look a little bit stronger now, I think, just given how strong the league looks in general. And you know, because, of course, everybody kind of, I think, expected Danvers and Marblehead to have a rematch there in their division. But, you know, to see the other schools like Peabody and Beverly doing well, I think, speaks to the strength of the league in general.
Yeah, certainly Beverly seemed to get a little bit of their early season magic back Saturday against Somerville, who I thought played a very good game. They had a very talented quarterback who could who was very decisive in his throws, very quick getting rid of the ball, and could really throw the ball down the field.
Oh, for sure. You know, different team at home for Beverly, and, you know, when they get all those different guys they have going with the ball in their hands, they're very dangerous, you know, and I think in their losses, they just had a couple of short drives and really kind of took that chemistry away. But, you know, certainly good to see them hitting on all cylinders, you know, and now getting ready for a Tewksbury team that's tough to get a read on. They play in such a tough league, and they've been very, very good these past few years, but of course had the upset loss to Danvers last year. So you never know. If you play well, you might be able to catch them.
Yeah, you mentioned Danvers. Bill and I did the game on Friday night, and I just thought Danvers was so quietly efficient. They didn't have those real big breakout long gainer plays. It was just methodical all night long in that first half against Melrose, who stiffened up defensively and didn't give anything to Danvers in the second half. I don't think Danvers took the foot off the pedal in the second half, but defensively, I mean, they just had Melrose's number. They were one step ahead defensively all night long, and offensively, Borders was just, look, up until when he got hurt, was just so efficient. Turn, throw the ball before the receiver even made the break. The ball was there on a line right where it was supposed to be. The receivers were right on target with their routes on their breaks, and it just looked so easy for them. Nothing was force. Nothing was rushed. Nothing was hard for them to do. It just was very methodical.
That's well said, Tim. I mean, they're a well-coached team. They don't make a lot of mistakes, and they don't have a lot of negative plays. And I think as a coach, that's what you're trying to do. You know, when you put those drives together, you can't have negative plays. And they're almost always in third and short, third manageable, you know, and that's just comes from all the repetition and all the coaching and, you know, just kind of doing what they're told. I mean, because, you know, when things go wrong, I mean, that's when you have penalties, you have second and long, third and long, that's when things can go wrong, and they really don't put themselves in those kind of spots very often, and that's a recipe for success.
Have you heard anything about the status of Bordas for this weekend, how bad his ankle is?
I have not heard any inside information. I mean, I can tell you guys, you know, just as far as Dean goes, you know, he did pitch a conference championship game in baseball with about four stitches in his shin, so... Oh. He's a tough kid with high pain tolerance, and I'm sure if, you know, the trainers don't shut him down completely, he's at least going to give it a go. You know, it'd be hard to keep him off the field, so.
Yeah, I remember 4 or 5 years ago when his dad opened Maple Street Tavern in Danvers Square, and I met young Mr. Borders, his dad, introduced him to me. He said, this guy's going to be the starting quarterback for Danvers High School coming up in a year or so, and he wasn't wrong in that prediction, and his Dean has been just as good as advertised by his dad. So his dad has a tremendous amount to be proud of, because the young man has certainly put in the work and the effort to get where he is.
Oh yeah, and he's great on the run. That's the thing. I mean, the way they move the pocket and the way they call those play action passes, of course, the way they run the ball, you know, his ability to hit those receivers when he's moving around and to sort of reset that pocket on the outside of those tight ends is really what makes that offense go. It gives them a new dimension that maybe they didn't have last year, so makes them even more dangerous.
Yep.
Matt, where are you going to be this weekend?
I believe I'll be up in Sudbury for the Peabody LS match up there in Division 1A.
Oh, it's in Sudbury. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, Lincoln, Sudbury, Adams.
Oh, Lincoln. Okay, of course. Yeah,
I was thinking. Town line, anyway.
Yeah, that's on the other side of the bridge. You got to understand, Matt. You know, I'm in Gloucester.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it might as well be Portland.
That's
Maine,
right. Sorry about that, man.
Have you been to that field before?
I believe I saw a neutral site state tournament soccer game there like 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, so you know how far behind the high school the football field is.
Yeah, it's a hike. It's a bit of a hike.
I just told Coach Bettencourt he didn't know, so he's gonna request a golf cart. So you might want to look for him.
That might help. That definitely might help.
What's your take on the Andover St. John's Prep game, Matt? Because all these games look great, but that looks to be like a top 10 type game.
Well, speaking of health, I mean, I think that's big. I don't know. You know, I read briefly that one of the Rocket Boys and Mike Yaron, of course, missed some time in the second half of that win over Acton-Boxborough. So, I mean, if the Prep is down, both of those guys, they may have a tough hill to climb here. If the Prep is healthy, I like the Prep quite a bit. High-scoring team in Andover, but not a lot of defense. The Prep, for the first time this week, really established the run with the young guy Ace Preem. So I feel like if Coach Saint decides that he wants to hold the ball and run it and try to keep E.J. Perry off the field, then the Prep should be able to do that and salt away a little bit of a win here and make enough plays on defense to hold Andover off. But, of course, as we know with injuries, if they're missing any of their key personnel, that could really change things in a hurry.
Yeah, the way that Perry's been putting up points, this season, they might want to give them some bad directions to the field.
It's true. I mean, Lexington, I sort of had a sinking feeling that, the Andover might be headed up this way next week when the brackets came out, just based on the quarterback play and Lexington's sort of defense over the years. But, the Prep defense is a different animal, and the job that Mike Barbady does up there, I'm sure that he'll be seeing Perry in his sleep and watch so much film this week, and he'll give the kid a few things to look at that maybe he hasn't seen before. And, the kid may diagnose it and make some plays. He's really, really good, and I'm sure once he gets to BC that Coach Saint will be rooting for him, but, certainly not this week, not yet.
Yeah, man, one of the things I talked to Rick when Rick told me that, that EJ had gotten this scholarship to BC, I said, I'm glad that BC finally stepped up and offered a local kid who had demonstrated some talent an opportunity to go there and compete for a prime job at the Heights, because we just haven't seen that from Boston College. It's been their preference to go to New Jersey and New York and out of state to get ball players, and they've never really given high quality kids from this area a chance. We've seen those kids come back and end up at BC after a year and maybe going to too big of a school and not getting playing time and coming back, but for them to have the opportunity to go there as freshmen and compete and maybe establish themselves very early, I think is a great thing.
It can't hurt. It definitely can't hurt. And, the kid's a blue chipper. He certainly has been since his freshman year and is a great baseball player. And, certainly will be one of those games that, that the state has its eyes on this weekend. One of the biggest games in the state, really, in terms of the matchup, the star power, can the quarterback, carry the team past a powerhouse type of thing. And, of course, on the other side, you got Everett and Central Catholic waiting for the winner, and really, no matter what happens, unless it's Andover and Everett, there's going to be a lot of juice, whoever's left there in Division One. The Prep and Everett rivalry has a lot of juice, the Prep and Central rivalry has a lot of juice, and obviously if it's Andover and Central, that's, that's a cross-town, pretty big rivalry too, so it is shaping up to be a knockdown, drag-out fight there in Division One North.
How is it that the Prep every year gets out of the gate seemingly slowly, and then just a couple of games in, just begins to mesh, they put it together, and then end of the season, they get on a roll, and they just seem to get unstoppable in most instances.
Well, part of it's the schedule. The two teams that they hit there in the middle were obviously very difficult. Part of it's health. Hunter Brown was out, I guess, for both of those losses, and then came back and really stabilized things on the front. And I think part of it is just the sheer numbers over there. I mean, you're talking well over 100 kids between grades 10, 11, and 12, and, probably different bodies on the field than there were maybe week one and week two, and after practice time, more time to identify some of these younger guys, get them involved in the play and things like that, and, just the more practice you have to learn kid tendencies, their strengths, find a role for different kids, the more time you have to identify that kind of stuff, I think the more fruit it's going to bear with a team like that.
Well, Matt, what do you got coming up in the paper this week?
Well, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's state tournament time, so the games will be beginning, I think, on Wednesday for field hockey, and then probably Thursday and Friday for boys and girls soccer and volleyball. So it's, you know, everything's sort of up in the air right now, depending on who gets seated where and who's playing where and all that. So it's a fun time of year to be following the high school sports, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I love talking with you, Matt. Thanks so much for the information. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, fellas. Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks,
Matty.
Take care.
Matt Williams of the Salem News, and that's going to do it for tonight, Coach. We are DUNN.
Okay, but I have to... I
got another trick-or-treater at the door here.
Of course, that mad dog Englishman of yours. Special kudos to Sam Carminelli, was all-conference, and then NEC All-Stars. Marissa Enos from the girls' field hockey team. Rachel Alexander was the MVP, and I know I'm leaving somebody out, and I may pay the price for that tomorrow in class. But congratulations to all the girls from the Gloucester field hockey team that made the conference all stars, and also the track teams. The girls track team finished third in Northeast Conference cross country meet. They did had a very, very strong showing. The boys finished eighth with Kyle Manley placing in sixth. The girls.
He informed me every day last year that he was a runner, a miler.
He is.
I'm a miler. I'm a runner.
He
great kid.
Great kid. And again, he has taken great pride in being the captain and the
Absolutely.
Leader of that cross country
well
team
deserved.
This year.
And my godchild Sam, what'd you say? She's an all star.
Sam Carminelli was selected conference. Awesome.
She's my godchild slash niece.
Yeah, she is a
great kid.
Oh, Lynn, let's see. I'm a bunch of my stuff. Say looks at all my students. Lindsay Parisi, Christina Jones. I had Kylie Kukaroo last. This is the girls' track team that finished third, along with where is she? Leah Rudolph, who's a sophomore. So I won't have her.
All right,
because I'll be gone.
There you go. Gone but not forgotten. yeah, really. TBA. Check the website for the games we'll be covering. We're in conference tomorrow trying to figure this out and figure out where we're going to land. However, let me tell you that the Danvers Peabody video is finally posted. We have that up there. And we will get the Gloucester Melrose video posted very soon. If not tonight, we'll have it up there tomorrow. So we have videos of both games.
Can we announce our player of the week? Can we say it? Or do we have to wait till you...
I think we have to wait till it's official.
I thought it was. That's because I was going to talk
sure
to him.
I'm not sure it is.
I thought it was.
I'm not sure it is, so we should wait, because I'm not sure.
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know. I thought Bill had spoken, because I was heading to Bellevue today to...
Oh, well, then
to
by all means, go for
so
it.
So we want to congratulate Johnny Jones of the Bellevue Panthers for his outstanding play against Somerville on Saturday. He had two more picks. He had a pick the week before to seal a win. He had two picks on Saturday and some played outstanding defense. He was in on a number of key stops for the Panthers, and for that he wins the MSO News Sports Player of the Week.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Coach. All right. That's it for tonight. Again, check the website for the games that we'll be doing. We will be covering a bunch of games this weekend live, to be sure, and one of them will be a video game. But, again, we're on conference. We'll figure that out sometime tomorrow, hopefully, and we'll have that all posted. On behalf of Tim Kearns and Bill Newell and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.